Hey everyone, Tim Karskadden again here from Shreveport, Louisiana Christian Center. Glad you joined us again today here on our daily podcast. This week we're talking about hindrances to your deliverance. So let's listen in, get some keys today. Well, welcome back. You guys are amazing. You guys that come and listen every day. Some of you are, I get testimonies, you listen every single day. Man, that just so encourages me. Speaks of the hunger in your heart and the desire to be free, especially on this topic. For over a month now, we've been dealing with on how to be free of demonic oppression, depression, you know, whatever you want to call it. I don't call it possession because I don't think a Christian can be fully, holy, 100% possessed. I think you can have demonic spirits in you. We do believe that in areas of your life, oppression, some would rather say. Whether you believe that or not, just believe you've been attacked by the enemy and you need to deal with it. And I think that's not worth fighting over. It's real. The battle's real. And we want to deal with the battle, really, more so rather than divide ourselves on such a topic like that. Well, this week we're laying out some keys on some things that are keeping you back from your deliverance. And again, reiterate, I'm going to say it every day, make sure you have a deep personal relationship with Christ. You will not be able to do physical things and works to stay free. That is legalism, and the enemy will fully recognize that. I remember one time I was doing deliverance on a demon-possessed girl, and you know, I had studied deliverance, had gone through training, and I was basically going by the manual, you know, and following the manual. And, you know, at first I had a lot of faith and we were seeing a lot of freedom, but all of a sudden it just kind of dried up. And I'm like, why is it not working? You know, I called my trainer and the person who really taught me about deliverance. And I said, I don't understand. You know, it was working at first and all of a sudden it stopped. And they asked me what I was doing. And I said, look, I'm doing every step in that manual. And, you know, and they gave me an answer. They said, look, most likely what's happened here is the enemy's recognized that you're no longer walking in faith, but now you're trusting a system, you're trusting a formula, and that's the law. And the enemy knows that's not faith and that's not relationship, so therefore he's not going to leave. And boy, that really changed my mentality. It wasn't that I couldn't keep those steps, but I needed to do it out of faith and out of love of the Lord rather than trusting the system or trusting the formula. If I trust the formula, I'm not trusting God. And so these topics we're giving you, make sure you trust the Lord, not just what we're telling you to do here, as far as giving you the steps. Okay, I just lay that as a, you know, a precursor, a warning, disclaimer, whatever you want to call it. So yesterday we ended up, we got to cut off all things that we have in the cult, Freemasonry, you know, fraternities, sororities, things like that. If you weren't in a, you know, a demonic cult or anything like that, you still can do those things. Those are fully acceptable in society, but they're just, if not more, dangerous. Okay. So today I want to talk about, you know, not breaking soul ties. And what is a soul tie? You know, we can see there are good soul ties and bad soul ties. We saw that Jonathan was tied to David, right, in the Old Testament. They had great soul ties. I'm married to my wife. I have a soul tie to her. That's good. My mind, my will, emotions were one there, right? It's healthy. But then you have relationships that are unhealthy and you don't need to be with. These are past relationships, past girlfriends, boyfriends, past husbands and wives that you're no longer married to. Friends that you used to do drugs with, friends you used to sin with, things like that. And you still have soul ties. You still keep your relationship alive. These are very, very dangerous. In other words, that these are open doors for the demonic. Because you can be controlled when you're tied to somebody. The way I describe it, the best way I can understand it, it's like a mother and umbilical cord, right? That baby is tied to the umbilical cord. And when that baby comes out of the mother's womb, it's still tied. They're separate, but they're still tied together by that. The life source, the blood, the food that would still come through that cord is still going to the baby. So what happens? The physician cuts the cord, right? So it makes them two separate people. That's kind of what I see a soulish tie. That I don't want somebody manipulating me, controlling me from outside, because that's an open door to bondage and demonic control. Because if they're still feeding me and their life source is still coming to me, I'll do what they want me to do. Okay? I've seen this break many times in deliverance. We've broken soul ties and seen people totally, absolutely, immediately set free from breaking these soul ties, especially when there's addiction and sexual behavior. Those are the two key areas I see it really get broken off, because those are two areas that they tend to be the most strong in, right? So Jesus warned us in Matthew 10:36 that a man's foes will be those of his own household. Let's touch that little sacred cow there. Oh, I got to love my mom and dad. I got to love my brothers and sisters. Yes, you do. You're called to love them and be in relationship. But how is that relationship? Is it healthy? Like if a mother is trying to control her child, codependency, we call it sometimes. I call it a soul tie. A young man may want to continue to be pressured by his brother to go back into taking drugs with him. Okay. These are unhealthy soul ties, right? That's why the Lord said a man shall leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, right? But if that mother won't ever let go, or the father won't ever let go, then that'll affect that marriage, right? That's oppression. Those are open doors to the enemy. So no matter how close you are to your family or your friends, the true freedom that you want will not come until that control is severed. You've got to break that. If it's an unhealthy soul tie, they're causing you to fall, or they're causing you to do things wrong. If you got a friend that gossips all the time and slanders all the time, oh, but they're my friend, you know, I just put up with it. And let me tell you what, if you find yourself slandering gossip, guess what? There's a soul tie there. That thing needs to be broken. Well, can I still be friends with them? If you're not going to fall in the same sin they are, yes, which means the severing of the tie has occurred. But if you still fall back into it, then they're feeding it to you, okay? Codependency, again, that's another example in relationships and families, right? So the process of adjusting to these differences in your relationships is going to be painful. I'm not going to lie to you. But if you want your full deliverance, you got to be willing to pay the price in that area. And sometimes it's necessary to break full contact with that person, of a controlling person, and trust and reestablish a relationship with Christ and in his timing and in his terms, especially with somebody as a Jezebel or controlling spirit. I've tried to help people before who were in a horrible marriage relationship. And I said, man, you've got to cut that tie. You know, this person is in open, blatant sin, is not repenting, doesn't want to change, is committing sins that are biblically give you the right to walk out of the relationship. And I find that sometimes they will not do it. And there's multiple reasons why. But there's a whole thing. You know what can happen is you can cut the soul tie, stay married, and what will happen? That person will leave you. That can happen, or they can break and say, hey, I want to get my life back together. You got to be willing to take that risk. That's why it's painful sometimes. You know, maybe a child's living at home and as an adult, and you know, they're dependent upon you. Sometimes to be free, you're going to have to cut them off and say, look, you got to go be on your own. Okay? I know that sounds really tough, but really when we want freedom and deliverance, we've got to be willing to do whatever it takes. And if there are ties there that are doing this for us, we've got to be willing to deal with those issues. Well, I hope some of you still love me after that topic. But just, you know, break these soul ties. Lord, I break this soul tie. I cut off this relationship. You know, and I'll say one more thing about this and move on. In Cleansing Stream, when we were in that ministry years ago, they would break soul ties with our former relationships, like girlfriends, boyfriends, anybody you've had sexual relationships, emotional ties to, and you'd write their names down. And then you'd walk up to the front and have somebody pray for you, and you tear up those names, and you put them on the floor, and you put them under your feet. You know, if that works for you, go for it. I mean, whatever it takes to do that, okay? All right, another topic here is that you don't have a full release from a curse. You know, there are many things in there that you can have a curse over your life. You have a curse of poverty, you know, different types of curses on your life, infirmity, whatever it is. And you got to recognize that these things are going to come against you. If you recognize that any of the forces that we've identified here, you know, that can have work on your life, if they're still there, then you're not fully released of that curse. And I think that's critical for you to have that recognition. The basis of your release in the exchange that took place on the cross. There Jesus took on himself every curse on which our sin had exposed itself to us. And in return, that we might be entitled to every blessing that he promises to us. That we can be as pure as snow. Righteousness as pure as snow on our life. You know, this is so wonderful, wonderful of a gift that the Lord gave us. And we must really go after that. Derek Prince has a great book called Blessing or Curse. You can choose. I'd encourage you. You can find it on the internet somewhere. It's free. It's out there. But I think those are some key things to make sure that you're totally free of every curse in your life. Remember, we dealt with the spirit of poverty months ago about how poverty is, you know, Jesus said was he was naked, he was poor and in need of everything when he was on the cross. And that's the definition of poverty. You're in need of everything. You're needy. And if you're under that curse, you've not been free. You need to break free of that and understand that the blessing and abundance that comes through Christ, and that you don't have to have a spirit of poverty. We've got to get past our religious teaching that says that, you know, some of that's holy, or that somebody else can get me free of that stuff. If somebody will give me the money, I can have this. Look, let Jesus set you free of every curse that's on your life. Infirmity. Look, it is not God's will that we be sick. You know, I don't know where that theology came from, that God uses, you know, sickness to teach us, whatever. I'm telling you, he'll let sickness teach us if we don't get healed. But the thing is, he wants us healed. These are curses we got to get off our lives. So we want to make sure that we identify every curse. And if we haven't got them off of us, then it's going to be a hindrance to our deliverance. Okay, I know there's some deep subjects today, but trust the Lord. He can do for you. I promise you, he can set you free of these things. What a great God we serve that he's willing to do this for us. Okay, come back again here tomorrow, and let's keep digging into this stuff. Have a great day. See you.